This is the second chapter of part 5, dramatic. The audience feel exalted and ennobled rather than distressed. In the modern times, with the rise of the middle class, the concept of tragedy undergoes a radical change and develops the domestic tragedy. From the Greeks until the 17th century, tragedy almost dealt with the fortunes of royal families and persons of high rank and were written in verse. Modern tragic drama is written in flat prose and the protagonist is socially inferior one, not a king or queen or a prince, but an everyday mother, tramp, peasant or salesman. The typical modern protagonist is called anti-hero, a man who instead of manifesting largeness, dignity, power and heroism in the face of fate is petty, ignominious, ineffective, or passive. The tragedy of fate is converted into a tragedy of instinct and heredity. Modern psychology, especially psychoanalysis, placed the first of these two tragic factors in the foreground by stressing the unconscious. Tragedy is thus seen as produced by the conflict between the conscious and unconscious forces of the physique. Now, the tragic flaw does not exist in the protagonist, but it lies more strongly in society, which becomes the great villain and crushes the hero morally and spiritually. This is reflected in the case of Willy Loman in Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. Thus, in modern realistic tragedy, the casual tragic factor is often the individual's conflict with society, its traditions, prejudices, representatives, laws, etc. In the audience, a compassionate understanding is generated instead of tragic pity and fear. Like comedy, tragedy, according to subject matter or theme, can be also divided into numerous types. The horror tragedy of Webster, revenge tragedy of Shakespeare, heroic tragedy of Dryden, she tragedy of Rowe, domestic tragedy of George Lillo, poetic tragedy of T.S. Eliot, and modern realistic tragedy of Arthur Miller. This chapter is now over. Thank you. Name of the chapter: Tragedy. Tragedy is the most general phenomena of human life. That is, why the tragic experience cannot be confined to a particular literary form. They may be expressed in drama, poetry, novels, and other prose narratives, but here tragedy is strictly limited to dramatic form, its nature, structure, form as well as ideas, situation, character, and tone. Tragedy is a serious play representing the disastrous downfall or the death of the protagonist, who is a man of title, power, and position. On the basis of form, tragedy can be divided into two types: classical and romantic. The classical tragedy is written on the Greek models. From the works of the Greek tragedians, Aeschylus, Aeschylus, Euripides and Sophocles, Aristotle arrived at the most influential definition of tragedy in his Poetic. He defines tragedy as an imitation of an action that is serious and complete. It achieves catharsis or purification through incidents arousing pity and fear. Aristotle observes that tragedy occurs because of hamartia, rooted in the tragic hero. This Greek word is variously translated as tragic flaw or error or shortcoming or weakness. In many Greek plays, hamartia often takes the form of hubris, meaning excessive pride, arrogance, and confidence. Aristotle further elaborates that the tragic hero is neither too good nor too bad, but is destined with a serious flaw. He commits an error in his judgment that becomes the cause of his doom. Though he is gifted with qualities of excellence, of nobleness, of passion, he has virtues and gifts that lift him above the ordinary run of mortal man and woman, yet these attributes are seen to be insufficient to save him from destruction. There is no hope for him. Aristotle also uses two other words, peripeteia, meaning reversal, and anagnorisis, meaning disclosure or discovery or recognition. The former occurs when an action produces the opposite of what was intended or expected, and it is therefore a kind of irony. For example, Macbeth kills Duncan, who gained happiness but reaps misery instead. For Aristotle, recognition means who is who, or the tragic hero's recognition of himself and the essence of life. Thus, Othello, having murdered his faithful wife, comes to recognize that he was deceived to think of her wife's dishonest. So, he commits suicide and justice is doomed. Nemesis or retribution takes place in the end. The classical tragedy observes the theory of the three unities, the unity of action, unity of time, and unity of place. The plot is purely tragic, devoid of any comedy. Another important element in Greek tragedy is the introduction of the chorus. It is a group of singers and dancers who appear on the stage to comment the fate of the protagonist or to report the information of the actions which happen off the stage. Sometimes the chorus gives moral lessons to the audience. It is now well knit with the main plot and now related to it loosely. Like the romantic comedy, the romantic tragedy also follows its own rules and conventions. It does not observe the three unities. Its plot is neither purely tragic nor purely comic, but is the mixture of the two. It does not employ the chorus, which interprets the action of the protagonist of the stage. Though Shakespeare is the champion of the romantic tragedy, Marlowe had already produced four important tragedies: Dr. Foster, Tamburlaine, The Great, Duke of Malta, and Edward II. English tragedy is generally not based on the Greek models, but is influenced considerably by the Roman playwright Seneca, who provides the model for a formal five-act play in a rhetorical style. Seneca's revenge play, fraught with ghosts, vengeance, bloodshed, deeds of horror, and occasional stoical speeches, exerts a deep impression on the first Elizabethan tragedy, Gorboduc, by Thomas Sackville and Thomas Norton, and on Thomas Kyd's Spanish tragedy. The function of tragedy is to create pleasure, but the question is why the spectacle of a man or a woman destroying themselves or being destroyed should give the spectator any kind of emotional, intellectual, or aesthetic pleasure. Nevertheless, tragedy does afford pleasure, and of a lofty order. When the spectator watches the tragic heroes who bring about the destruction by their own tragic flaw, he or she can imagine them, understand them, sympathize with them, identify with them, and be moved by them. For the time being, he forgets his petty interests and troubles of his own everyday life. By participating indirectly in the grief, pain, and fear of the tragic hero, the spectator experiences pity and fear and is purged. Aristotle says that tragedy produces in the spectator a catharsis, or purges these emotions. It drains or perhaps refines these emotions, and thus tragedy is socially useful.